Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Blue Chew. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code TMS. To receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, Constantine Troutbunker.
Paying the porcelain price.
Oculus Googleus.
The stinky kimchi mistake.
Leaving rehab, divorce, and Olivia Munn in 24 hours.
No bum flu for you, sir.
There is no day two.
Coon and Poots.
It's a broken nose party.
He'll have the creamy scramble.
No show the day after tomorrow.
Kimchi is not supposed to be black.
The red-headed stepchild of vaccines.
Justin Robert Young, ambassador of Cool Town, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Human food. Money. These things are of no use to me.
For a ghost, you bleed just fine. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Hibbett.
Hello.
Hibbett. What's this STMS? Oh, they're saying TMS.
TMS. Yeah, they.
The pattern.
When you play that theme,
yeah.
The chat room sings along, as I do air quotes. Sings along with the TMS.
But the pattern looks wrong because it starts with an S in their
Yeah, they're doing
post.
A lot of STMs.
Yeah, it's throwing me off. Like, come on now, that's not
stream the morning. And when we do the 70s one, they do the moan and scream or the moaning scream or
or whatever their interpretation of the day is. Sure,
that's right, exactly. That wacky nutty chat room.
They're nutty.
And Barb was almost going to be. We were thinking she was going to be in the chat room yesterday, and she didn't make it.
Oh,
I was really hoping that Aunt Barb.
To what do we owe the honor of her possibly being there? What was that about?
Yeah, exactly. She's not working this week, or she's back to work on Thursday after getting a medical test from somebody who turned out to have COVID. So she kind of got put on, though she's vaccinated, she got put on forced quarantine.
Well, she's on a high. Yeah. She's on a high. Not only is she's in. She's the one with MS, right, Aunt Barb?
She's the one with MS, yes, exactly.
So it's not
and,
only that.
And you... not with vertigo, as I may have said at one point. I knew she had MS. I wasn't confusing MS and vertigo.
Right.
But I was confusing one of I was confusing other issues that she's had with vertigo.
Symptoms, you got your symptoms crossed. I understand.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
But, I would see there's two reasons to do what they did. One is she's at high risk and also, she could carry it even if she's vaccinated.
Yep.
So you got to be careful out there.
Got to be careful.
Good news is yesterday they were announcing that the Indian variant that is just ripping through India and having a real heyday is the vaccines are resistant or are seem to be effective against it. So that's good.
All three. I haven't seen all the news, but I know Moderna and Pfizer
Yeah, the J&J, I don't know. I feel like that's everybody's redheaded stepchild kind of thing, you know?
Well, it's almost like people are just looking for a reason to hate the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Like,
yeah.
We're just looking for a reason to bitch about it.
It does feel like it. It feels like it's whether or not it's as good.
It's legit. I mean, it's different. It's not an mRNA-based vaccine, but it's... You know,
it's a fun little poke in the arm. Let's call it that.
Exactly. Oh, yes. The 2-week vaccine. Oh, yes. The single doser. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I guess like all of the most of the medical workers in India are vaccinated. And they are all, there's not a single case among them. So that seems that seems good.
That's promising. Yeah, for sure.
Science works, everybody. But.
Well, we'll find out when Tina and I go to the big bacteria frappe known as Las Vegas and immerse ourselves fully in that hive of scum and villainy.
Yep. You might get just a
wretched hive of scum and villainy.
It's been a while since anybody's been real sick, so maybe you'll get a good old-fashioned cold, you know? Like a...
Oh, God, I didn't think about that. I've been...
I know. That's what I was thinking just yesterday. I'm like, I haven't been sick since this thing kicked in. One time I had some bad allergies and thought maybe it was a cold. Got tested anyway. Nothing.
Yeah.
And whatever it was gone in a couple of days. So I think it was allergies. But nothing. I've had nothing. And I haven't. No bum flu, no chest flu, no nothing flu. And it's been great.
Bum flu.
It's been great.
Is it diarrhea? Is the bum flu? Is that the deal?
Well, let me tell you a story, Brian. This is appropriate for today's topic because.
Wow. I didn't even mean to lead into our top topic.
I was actually hoping you would. I wasn't. It worked out real well. So I made a mistake 2 days ago. So Sunday, we cracked open a brand new bottle of kimchi. And I say bottle because it's glass, but it's, you know, a jar. I guess it's a jar. Jar of kimchi.
Jar kimchi.
And we had just got it, just brand new, got it on Saturday from the Asian market. Had it delivered, and they're everything. We've never had a problem at that place. It's great. They have tons of stuff and lots of fresh produce, and it's a good store. So anyway, we get the new kimchi, and it's a brand we've had before. So, you know, it's confidence and whatever. We crack that thing open, and I'm like, oh. Okay, kimchi's supposed to stink, but it's just a little stinkier. Something's up.
Kimchi's black. It's not supposed to be black.
I mean, you're not far from the truth. But it just looked a little weird, and it smelled not off in a kimchi sort of off way, because it is fermented. It is literally, rotting.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, how do you tell if kimchi goes bad when it's...
I think it's a vinegar.
How do you tell when sour cream goes bad?
Exactly. I think it's like a vinegary kind of thing because the more vinegary it is, I think is the problem. And anyway, it just didn't smell right, but I thought, whatever. Kimchi doesn't smell right. That's the point of kimchi. So I put it on my ramen that we made. And this is when Kim and I watched a movie together and we had ramen and it was great. It was on Saturday. And
ramen movie date.
Uh-huh. And as I open it, she goes, I go, do you want it on yours? She goes, I don't know if I trust your reaction to that. And I said, oh, it's probably fine. Then I tasted some and it was like overwhelmingly vinegary. And I was like, oh, that doesn't seem right, but maybe it's this brand. So I kept justifying it because I really wanted kimchi. So I just kept going, oh no, it's fine. That's kimchi. Blah, blah, blah. It's all going to taste different every time because it's rotting. Hey, whatever. So I go down this whole road of justifying it, putting like, I don't know, a little chunk, you know, a little pile of it over there on the corner of the bowl. And then I ate it. And the ramen covered for its way over tangy quality. Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Well, Brian, I spent...
Oh, no.
After TMS, most of the day paying the porcelain price for my mistake.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it is bad.
At least it was, you didn't puke. You held your record.
No, I didn't even get nauseous or anything. It just went, it decided it was a down south problem. And, and boy, howdy, did it make for an afternoon. But, it was not fun and I didn't enjoy it because I had a lot to do yesterday and you have to keep getting up and running around and, you know, that kind of deal. I'm all good now, but that's as close as I've come to an illness during this whole pandemic, during any COVID-19 time. And that was self-imposed by some bad kimchi, which I'm going to take back there and make them give me a new bottle for. What I'm saying is go with your gut. If you think it's wrong, it probably is. Because it was bad.
Yeah.
And it was bubbling too. This is the other thing. I've never had it when I took the lid off. I've never had bubbles go blip, blip, blip around the sides of it. And I just thought, oh, well, this is just one that was packed in there real good. So, you know, has bubbles, no big deal.
Yeah, how you know it's working. The foam.
It was bad. It was real bad. So just a word of advice. Don't eat the bad kimchi or else you are in freaking trouble.
It's worse than the brown acid.
Yeah, it's true. I'm better now, though. All good. Just feeling good. Like spry as a wet monkey now. I'm good.
Probably a little lighter, too.
Yeah. A little lighter, a little freer, a little less, a little less traffic on the I-5, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no need to go any further there.
Anyway, so I learned my lesson.
Wow. Oh, geez.
All right. So we got the bottom line is what I hope happens in Vegas is that
That's right. That's where this all started.
They're so freaky clean about everything that you'll also benefit from all the cleanness of the other potential pathogens you could catch. So,
you know, I mean, I'd rather just let's rip the Band-Aid off. If I'm going to get a cold, let's get a cold. Although, yeah, it actually wouldn't be bad for me to get a cold in at the end of May, beginning of June, right? For like, you know, to come back from one, because I'd hate to get it before the MS-150 or the Glenwood trip or things like that. So
yeah, you had that. Remember that year you had the MS-150 monster?
Yeah, and
cold?
I got sick really bad the second day. Yeah. Really sick the second day, and I couldn't do.
It was bad.
To this day, by the way, 4 years of being in the MS-150.
Yeah,
I have yet to complete day two.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 1 year there were lightning storms and rain. Second year it got called off. Another year I was sick. Hopefully 2021. Oh no, I take that back. This year is a single day. There is no day two of the MS-150. So my record will go unmarred.
Oh, that's why last year was only one day also, right?
Last year's was sort of canceled, and we just made up for it and did our own.
Oh, that's right.
We went from my house to my uncle's house, which is a 45 to 50 minute drive.
Right.
And so we did like a 6 hour, 7 hour bike ride through all of Denver.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I forgot you did that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so you can't fix your 2 day until they do it.
I'm not going to fix my 2 day until 2022. So, you know, whatever.
Perfect. You got a couple of twos in the year. You'll get 2 days.
That's right. As Jeff Goldblum would say, there's no day two.
there's no day two.
I got to work on. Boy, you sent me a TikTok of a dude.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to play that guy.
That guy is so damn amazing.
It's uncanny. He kind of looks like him too, which is weird.
Well, he does. He basically dips his head and then he has the smile. Oh, uh-huh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. We really are going to. Hey, we're going to have dinosaurs on your dinosaur?
Yeah, this is the guy I need to like learn from on how to do the decent Jeff Goldblum impersonation.
I got to find him. I don't remember. Oh, here he is. Okay. So listen to this chat room. You'll be blown away by this.
Yeah.
Yes, but you sound like Jeff Goldblum.
Even like that.
yes. That will happen. I do sound like Jeff Goldblum. A little bit. Thank you for the comment. Follow me for more on apartments.com.
One of the things you got to pick up from that is the... it's like a warped record, or not a warped record, but a cassette tape that is broken, where it's going to go on fast and then it kind of slows down.
Yeah,
and it goes fast a little more.
Yes, but you sound like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
he's getting it. Yes. That will happen. I do sound like Jeff Goldblum. A little bit.
Yeah, there's that whole stream of consciousness.
Oh, you go fast for a second, you slow down.
Yeah.
And then you kind of pick up and go fast again.
In chat room there, that's the dude. He looks a little like him.
Looks a little bit like him, but boy.
A little bit. Enough to do, you know, could go on SNL or something and be him if you needed to.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's that. That's fun. That's fun time.
You know, speaking of SNL, can I just say that there we've got a gem of brilliance in Melissa Villaseñor that is criminally underused on SNL. They used her for a couple skits this last weekend, but in this horrendous, sorry, it was the most garbagey skit. It was the Muppet Show, and two bouncers were beating up Statler and Waldorf because they were heckling the Muppet Show.
That's the sketch.
That was the sketch. It was Kenan Thompson and Key Michael Keegan or whatever. What's his full name?
Work out your Kegels. That guy.
Yeah, work out your Kegels.
I have no idea.
Oh my God, Dice Tomato. You would think that skit was hilarious. Yeah, Keegan Michael Key. Yeah. But she nailed a freaking Lily Tomlin impersonation that was just absolutely amazing.
What's her name again? The girl's name?
Melissa Villaseñor. She does. If you find a YouTube video of her, look for one on Weekend Update where she just goes through like all the impersonations that she can do. She is absolutely amazing.
Oh, there she is. Okay. Oh, I do recognize her face now.
She's been on a couple other things outside of SNL, but
been a bunch of movies. Crank Anchors, a lot of voice
work. I can't believe you thought that skit was hilarious, Dice Tomato. I felt like that was just the weakest. It was like there was nothing to it. They were making like Statler and Waldorf were doing what they usually do on the Muppet Show, and the two dimensional joke was that these bouncers were going to beat them up for it or going to yell at them for it.
Hmm.
Well, okay, the simplicity was amazing, Dice Tomato. You and I love you, Dice Tomato. But I feel like you and I will never recommend things to each other.
Hey man,
and look, I'm okay with that.
Just proof that it takes all kinds, you know.
That's right, exactly.
That's how I look at it. Okay, Brian, I got a question here from an emailer. Yes. Got to answer. This is important stuff.
Oh God, yeah, the puppeteering was so bad. Like the voices didn't match up with the puppets. Anyway, yes, please.
Were the puppets any good? Did they look like Statler?
They looked identical to.
So they may have been actual Statler and Waldorf Muppets.
No, they were definitely. You could tell that they weren't the actual Statler and Waldorf puppets, but they were nearly identical. And a lot of people forget that those first, like back in 1975, when whatever SNL started, the Muppets were regularly on there.
Oh yeah, all the time. Kermit would come on there. I remember that.
Kermit would come on there, and they had some weird, like feathery, weird looking Muppet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway. Yeah. He was there.
TVZ Gun found a great Villaseñor impersonation of Owen Wilson. If you want to,
I do want to hear that. Hold on. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Here she is. This is the Daily Hoo Ha.
I'm reborn. Wow.
Drinking her coffee. Is.
Ow. Ew. Ayahuasca, you know how to wake me up. No.
What is she doing?
Yes.
Here we go.
She doesn't do much talking at the beginning of this one, does she?
Here it is.
Drink ayahuasca and say hi to the birdie outside my window. His name is Tyrone.
Anyway.
That's great.
She is amazing, and she's criminally underused.
Well, good luck to her. I hope they use her more. Exactly. Is what we're saying. Maybe she's, you know, it's just she's getting going. She's we're ranking up the deal there. However they do
it. Yes, exactly. Well, she's been on for years.
Oh, well, then never mind. Maybe she's more of a writer. Is that her deal? She does a lot of behind the scenes business. Like
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That is the thing, right? You've got to write sketches to be in sketches usually, unless your name is Kate McKinnon or.
Oh yeah, if your name's Kate
Taron Killam at the time was in every single sketch. Yeah. He was a great writer, and he's hilarious. His sitcom work has been a bummer since he left SNL. But
what was the dude who just got famously divorced and is already dating Deadeye? What's her name?
Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Yes. Who is that? That is
Constantine Trout Bunker. Right? John Mulaney.
John Mulaney. Although, Constantine Troutbunker. I could see how you confuse those two names. Constantine.
Yeah.
Troutbunker. Well, I guess what Constantine's first name was John, right?
Right. See, this is where it comes from, I'll bet. It's actually probably not too far from the truth. But anyway, he was on SNL behind the scenes, like writing, and never did really break out into the, I guess he was in a couple of skits, but there's always people like that, right? People that are just like,
oh, Mulaney. Yeah. He's been way funnier as a guest host than, I mean, his writing was always amazing, but he barely was on the show as a writer back in the day. But boy, his stuff since guest hosting, every time he's on, they do these musical parodies, like parodies of Broadway musicals, multiple. And
right.
they've been some of the best things that SNL, certainly the best things that SNL does when John Mulaney's on.
So when he, I'm just trying to imagine this. You go into rehab for, I don't know what he was hooked on, whatever, pills, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately come out of rehab, divorce your wife, and go straight. You go from rehab to divorce to Olivia Munn in like 24 hours.
It was a very quick, at least for us. For us on the sidelines looking at celebrity headlines, it seemed like a very quick.
It seemed really quick. I'm sure there's more really quick. To it.
I wonder
than
if
that.
There was something, you know, if the rehab. You know, if basically he's like, oh, man, all right, I'm getting clean and I see that one of my triggers or my enabler is my wife. I got to get out of that relationship or I'm going to be right back in here. I need somebody who I can look at and has no look of feeling or anything in their face, no expression or any sort of.
I never want to know what she's thinking or feeling. So I'm
right. I never want to have to worry about what she's thinking or feeling. Ah, Olivia Munn.
I think she's happy today. Why? Her mouth bent slightly upward. I think she's smiling. I'm not 100% sure.
And then I started dating Olivia Munn.
That's right. And she looked straight through me. I mean, you could hear it could be one
and
of his
I
jokes.
I never have to worry about expressions again. In other relationships, are you okay? What are you feeling? Are you mad at me? With Olivia, I never have to worry about it.
That's right. You're just a pretty good John Mulaney. I'm not going to lie. It's not bad.
I've never tried John Mulaney. I've never dipped my toe into the John Mulaney pool.
Oh, Lennon, hey, there's no misogyny in that. We're just having fun.
What misogyny?
We're just having fun. Well, Olivia Munn, famous for having eyes that look like they're looking through anything. She could be a guy, a girl, or a dog. It wouldn't matter. She's just...
We talked about Gerard Depardieu and how he peed down the aisle of an airport, airplane. I mean, we're...
Brian,
we're...
you misogynist. You can't talk about French old men that way.
See? Yeah.
Anyway. Whatever. Hey, look at this. So here's this thing. I'd ask you this question. This is from Brendan Tilo.
Okay.
He gave us his full name, so I guess it's okay to read it on the show.
Oh, here's his phone number, 555.
Yeah, there you have it.
That's how you can tell it's a joke.
You can always tell. Brian, or dear Brian and Scott, if you could keep only one of these human innovations, which would it be? Okay, so you have to choose one of these three things and the others go away.
The others go away. The others as if they never existed. Poof.
As if they're not in your life at all. Number one, the wheel.
Uh-huh.
Number two, indoor plumbing. It's gone pretty ancient on both these. Although I guess
No kidding.
Indoor plumbing's not that ancient, but I don't know. Weren't the Romans doing something with it? There's some kind of Roman.
Yes, right. Aqueducts and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. And then the internet. So those are your three. The wheel, indoor plumbing, or the internet. Now, my initial thought was, well, keep the internet because there's that seems cool.
Because you can find a YouTube video of how to make a wheel and how to make indoor plumbing.
Possibly. But my main thing is, like, it seems like if you didn't keep indoor plumbing, we'd be in big trouble. At least in...
Oh, really? Of all of the three of those, I feel like... Like indoor plumbing is a nice convenience, but it's certainly not required for like transportation or communication like the other two are. I would say internet. Let's get rid of the internet. Let's get rid of indoor plumbing.
Okay.
Keep the wheel.
Okay.
And those other things will get invented before too long.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, like, that's a question. Do these things never get invented? Like, if we say, "Oh, keep the wheel," then indoor plumbing and internet never existed. But
right.
Will they?
Could they ever invented? Exist? Right. My take from this is they would be no longer even an option. And Dice Tomato, our opposite reviewer in the chat room today, is making a good point. Like, if we didn't have the wheel, mm-hmm. there'd be no gears, and there'd therefore mm-hmm. be no generators. There'd therefore be none of this kind of like machinery, incremental
right.
innovation right. that leads to, honestly, the internet, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
indoor plumbing. Does the internet work without water cooling and massive server farms mm-hmm. and all of that, which require indoor plumbing? Like, I don't know if you can have any of these without each other, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bad question.
Well, you
one.
Can have the wheel without indoor plumbing and the internet, but you may not be able to have.
Oh, right, right. You could stop at the wheel, right? You could say, all right, well, wheel's yeah. good, and the other two just never come.
Because we had the wheel.
Right.
Before we had indoor plumbing in the internet.
Yeah, this is a troublesome yeah. question, just on the surface of it, for some reason, indoor plumbing's really sticking out at me, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah, really? Okay.
I don't want to go outside.
Well, because you spent so much time yesterday getting comfy and cozy with indoor plumbing that...
I did. I directly benefited. From indoor plumbing yesterday.
You probably haven't used a wheel directly since then.
Yeah.
Probably
I did use the internet.
Maybe indirectly, but.
Yeah, I did use the internet as well. I sat there, had the phone with me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You got to play a little Sping or whatever it is while you're surf TikTok while you're on the pooper.
Sping. Oh, my gosh. That is the actual.
Sping. Isn't that that
no,
game?
That's the game.
The,
it exists.
Yeah.
It's just such a funny pull. It's like.
I'm going to play a little Sping.
I'm going to play Sping on the toilet.
You know why? Because that is a great toilet game.
It's a pretty good toilet game.
I completed the whole first section and moved on to that one and done. Like, you can only use each pivot point once.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm done with
you
this
game. You think that you're not really into the end game there? It's not really your thing.
It's, I think I finally got the achievement that I wanted to get, and I don't need any other achievements.
A quick update for Shave Maddox in the chat. He says, to be clear, Frog Pants, throw up streak is still intact, correct? 100% intact. I haven't barfed since 2005, July of 05. It hasn't, not one form of yak has come from me since that hateful day.
Excellent. And I feel like there will be a certificate waiting for you at in the afterlife. Oh, congratulations on your vomit streak. Oh, we'd like to give you this no alcohol certificate, but there was that time in Mexico. Sorry.
Sorry about that. All right. Thank you, Brendan, for your email. Oh, he did say at the end, thanks and go fly a kite, which I don't know what the reference is. Do you think that's just like, hey,
thanks.
It's nice
go
out.
Go fly a kite.
It could be, it's nice out. Go, fly a kite. The wind, the breeze. Have a lovely day. Or he could be saying, go fly a kite.
Golly. It just, what a quaint time in our history that go fly a kite was, a derogatory thing to tell somebody. Oh, go fly a kite.
Yeah, go fly a kite. That's what I say. Oh, all right. Well, well done.
I miss those days.
We love your emails. Please send more weird crap like this because we love reading them. themorningstream@gmail.com. Now this.
You need to read this, sir. You need to read it now.
Time for the news brought to you by...
Hold on, I'm going to read this very important piece of information. Oh, that is this. Yes, America's Next Top Podcaster. If you are on the free feed right now, you will get the next to last judging and elimination episode where we go from 3 down to 2 after the judges review the final interview challenge. Like, we gave them all the tools that they needed for interviews, right? We gave them somebody to interview, Mark Hoffling. We gave them a recorded interview from Monica to edit. Now we sent them off into the world and said, go find somebody to interview them, edit it down into a podcast and give it to us. And our judges reviewed it. And boy, oh boy, did they.
Yeah.
Find out who goes home and who becomes our final two on America's Next Top Podcaster.com.
Nice. Bagheera says, go fly a kite is a racial slur. No, it's not, is it? If he's just saying that to stir up the
I think he's saying it. Let's look at the history. I'm going to look at the history of GoFly Kite.
And I am going to ignore the chat for the rest of the day because I can't be distracted by your fake claims. Okay, Rishi B, you're adding to the pile. All right, okay. What else we got here?
It's offensive to black kites. Come on.
He's saying no. He's making it up. All right. Well,
he's making it up. I'm just looking for the. I'm curious about the etymology of it. Where did this come from? But
By the way, the difference between having a go at Olivia Munn versus having a go at women, it would be if I said all women stare blankly at nothing and look dead in their eyes. I'm not saying that. I'm saying one human being named Olivia Munn. Don't care what gender she is or how she presents. She has dead eyes and stares into nothing. That's what I'm saying.
And she is a very talented actress. She's very attractive. Just her eyes. She's able to do something with her eyes that convey no sense of awareness or reaction. Maybe that's it. There's just no reaction in her eyes. So you see her on the newsroom and, Jeff Goldblum, not Bridges, Jeff.
Jeff.
Dumb and Dumber Jeff. True Grid, Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
Oh, no, that's Jeff Bridges.
You mean Jeff.
Jeff Daniels. Thank you, Jeff Daniels. Pete's sake.
Oh.
Just got off on the, could not think of any other Jeffs. He says, the president of Zimbabwe has just been shot. And then they cut to Olivia Munn. Oh, no, that's terrible. I'll go do a news article about it.
There you go.
There you go.
By the way, remember how great he was in that Western? What was that Western called? The Netflix one where he was the bad guy? Jeff Daniels? Oh.
Good. The recent one? The Coen Brothers? Not Coen Brothers. Coen Brothers one?
It wasn't Coen Brothers, but it was like... Oh, I loved it so much. Chat room. Godless. Oh, it was so good.
Oh, Godless. Yeah, the series. Yeah, that was really good.
So good. I would love more of that. They're not going to do
no
it.
Kidding.
I would love
no. That's such a great cast all around. You had Dockery, Michelle Dockery in there. You had...
She's a sharpshooter. what's her name from Nurse Jackie?
Yes, Merritt Weaver.
Merritt Weaver's amazing in it.
And Coots, no, what's her name? She was Proxima Midnight.
Carrie Coon.
Carrie Coon, yeah.
And you had your... Wait, was Carrie Coon in that?
I'm sorry, not Carrie Coon, the other one. The one who was on House of Cards.
Yeah, yes. That lady. Different lady.
Yes, that lady. Not Carrie Coon.
And then there... who else was great? Frick. The guy that was going blind, the sheriff.
Oh,
he's in tons of stuff. I never remember his name, but I freaking love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Imogen Poots was not in that movie.
There was no Imogen Poots. Boy, we need a combination of Imogen Poots and Carrie Coon.
Yeah.
Coon and Poots.
Yeah, yeah.
The new comedy show, Coon and Poots.
Ted Danson was not in it either. All right, Chad, I have to stop looking at you now. All right, here comes the first news story. Chick-fil-A in the news, everybody. Get your chicken
Constantine
on.
Trout Bucket.
There you go.
Whatever it was.
Bunker.
Trout Bunker.
That one came from way down. I might be out of those for
really
a while.
Did. That was great. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A imposes a sauce limit. This is due to industry-wide shortages, so it isn't just affecting them, but Chick-fil-A is now officially saying you can only have so much sauce in your life.
It just feels like it's part of the sequel to Falling Down. Like Michael Douglas somehow survives and then goes on another rampage because... The guy at Chick-fil-A is only going to give me one sauce.
You know, it's really what would have set Russell Crowe off in the movie.
Oh, I still need to see that. Yeah.
I think you should watch it. It's short and he's fun to watch as that guy. And he is fat in this thing. Like he really put on a bunch of weight.
He's fun to watch. And boy, is he fat.
He really is. Just compared to normal, like, I don't know what he's been looking like lately.
Well,
but
did you see the other guys?
Yeah.
That he did with Gosling?
Yeah, and he was a little flubby in that.
Okay.
But in this, he is, I mean, I felt like he put it on for the role. Like,
well, maybe he did.
He might have. And I'm sure he was fine with that. Like, okay, no problem.
I'm going to put this out there really quick, and we're not going to dwell on it, but I'm curious if anyone has watched Shadow in the Cloud and if I should watch it or not, because I really like the premise idea of it, but
I'm seeing some
bad reviews.
Is a movie or a TV thing?
A movie. It is a... it's like a combination of a Black Mirror episode and that Amazing Stories with the gunner in the bottom of the airplane that we really like, the bomber.
Right.
But it's got Chloe Grace Moretz as a World War II pilot who gets on a plane, but then there's some sort of supernatural creature that's trying to kill everybody on the plane or something.
I really like her, so that's usually enough of a ticket to get me in. But
yeah, but it's got below 50% Rotten Tomatoes.
See, this is
Free Rangers says it was a strange movie. I didn't really like it, but it felt like it didn't know what it wanted to be. Dang it.
Okay. This is how I feel about that new Michael B. Jordan thing, because the reviews have been bad, but I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. It's streaming on Hulu.
Hulu?
Folks,
Hulu.
If you want to see it. Yeah,
if you want to see
Shadow in the Cloud.
Poorly reviewed thing. There's also some Steve Martin, Martin Short thing coming out on Hulu that looks really good.
Oh, really?
With
the two of them did their comedy tour.
Well, this is like a movie, and it's got Selena Gomez in it somehow. Not somehow, she's just in it.
Okay.
Hold on, Steve Martin. I just haven't seen him do anything like this in a while. It's almost been all stage stuff, banjo stuff, you know, whatever. Let's see. Only Murders in the Building. That's it.
Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah, and he helped create. He's the creator, one of the writers as well as starring in it. Him and Martin Short, Selena Gomez.
I've never heard of any of this.
Yeah, it's some new Hulu business coming, and it's a series. And these three strangers who share an obsession with true crime suddenly find themselves caught up in one. And it looks great. I don't know. I have to see. I don't know. It feels like an odd... It's also a very odd pairing, these two old comedians and Selena Gomez hanging out. Just odd.
Yeah. What is that? Bobby's absolutely correct. This is the most tangenty episode in a while. Because I'm about to actually ask, when is that new... There's the new Wes Anderson...
It's
got 1,000 stars in it that got pushed because of COVID.
The Paris Dispatch? Is that the name of it?
That's right. Something like that. Yes. Right.
I can't believe I remember that. I can't remember John Mulaney's name.
There it is. Paris Dispatch.
Remember. Yeah, there it is. 2021.
The French Dispatch.
Elizabeth Moss, Frances McDormand.
When is this coming out?
Saoirse Ronan.
Pushed to. Here we go. Pushed to.
Fisher Stevens.
The movie will likely arrive in 2021, so I don't think we've got a new date on it yet.
Edward Norton, Tilda Swinton, Christoph Waltz. Yeah, boy. Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, you know, the usuals. Willem Dafoe,
yeah.
Rupert Friend.
Here we go. July 2021 is its current release date.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
It looks like the most Wes Anderson-ass thing I've seen in a long time.
It's like the Wes Anderson greatest hits. Like, hey, you know all those people we had in all of my other movies? I'm bringing them all together for this one.
Yep, and then a few new faces, and they look like they'll fit right in. And it's just the colors and the way everyone's sitting. This is the most Wes... I mean, it's like Wes Anderson's almost like, you know what? I may not live much longer, so here is everything I've ever done or will do in one movie.
how did you pronounce Saoirse Ronan's name?
Saoirse Ronan. Isn't that right?
Saoirse. Rhymes with inertia.
Did I say Saoirse? I do that sometimes.
I think you said Saoirse.
I think I do a joke. It started as a joke, and now I can't help it.
Saoirse.
It's like when we talk about... some of Nicole's names she messes up. Now I mess them up because I think of the messed up name first before I do the real name.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, Adrian Brody. Him and his broken nose are in this. All right.
Excellent. All right, so hey, anything more on Chick-fil-A and their sauce? I think we covered it.
Brian, it's a broken nose party. Look, Adrian Brody, Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow.
You know Willem Dafoe's nose is broken like four times. That's happened. It has to. Bill Murray's had a broken nose. Look at all the broken noses. Holy
it's like
crap.
It's like the NHL All-Star game.
Anyway, Chick-fil-A. They haven't... They have imposed nationwide dipping sauce limitations with their fast food restaurants rationing customer handouts as Americans bounce back from the COVID-19 recession. Restaurants managers or managers of some Chick-fil-A's at 2,600 locations across the U.S. are advising team members to allow customers just one dipping sauce portion per entree ordered.
So if you ask for another one, will they give it to you? Or is this really like, a, no, I'm sorry, we're only able to give you one? Because I know, you know, when you say like some ketchup,
right?
Some places put two giant handfuls of ketchup packets in your bag.
Yeah. To me, this feels like they'll give you the one, but if you did say, can I get another one of those? They'd do it.
They might, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is Chick-fil-A. They'll totally do it.
Yeah, if this Chick-fil-A. Was, they give you everything to give your chicken. They want you to buy their chicken. That's the bottom line there.
Yeah. Hey, Taco Bell, can I get a couple packets of hot sauce? Here's 48. Here's a separate bag full of packets of hot sauce for you.
The one thing they don't get into, they keep talking about industry-wide supply chain disruptions. I would assume that means across the board, regardless of the of the fast food chain. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the Taco Bell near me is not having any shortage of sauce packets. They're still just dumping them on me like I own the place. I don't know what's going on.
Right. Right.
I got a bag right over here just full of sauce packets from the last time I had Taco Bell. Just sitting over there. Should I keep them?
Yeah, they're good though. They're hot as good on eggs.
Yeah, it is good.
Actually, if you make scrambled eggs, you work the sauce into the eggs as you scramble them.
Ooh.
That's a little secret right there.
That sounds great.
And a tablespoon of sour cream.
And what does that do? Just kind of.
It makes the eggs creamier.
Oh, okay.
It's like it keeps them. Like you, if you tend to want to overcook your eggs, which you should really want to thoroughly cook your eggs,
right.
You add a little bit of sour cream to it as they're cooking, not before, but as they're cooking, and it keeps them, it gives them that soft texture without having them be rubbery if you overcook them.
Interesting. I'm going to try that. Actually,
it's totally, totally good. It's really good.
Really good. I like a scramble anyway. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me I can have a creamy scramble,
you can have a creamy scramble without it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Miravina backs me up on that one.
That was my. It was only 2 years, but that was my stripper name in college. Was Creamy Scramble. Yeah. I won't get into why.
Creamy Scramble. Yeah.
You don't want to know why they called me that.
Let's just say I could make change on stage.
All right. Speaking of mixing some things in that shouldn't be, blood dripping on a sleeping woman's face from ceiling caused by rotting body on the floor above. Oh, this is
coming
terrible.
Soon from Blumhouse.
It sounds like one of those. A woman, or as this says, a woman.
A woman.
I don't know why there's not a space there. I think it was one of those articles where there was a giant A and then.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The formatting's weird when you copy them. Anyway, a woman has described her horror. After she says she was awoken in her apartment by blood dripping on her from the ceiling on her face after an upstairs neighbor had died. Anna Cardenas of El Paso, Texas. Cardenas. Yep.
Cardenas.
Said she woke up at about 4 a.m. on a Wednesday. Oh, sounds awful. After hearing a dripping noise, which she thought was rain, she then saw blood, which was dripping from her ceiling and spattered onto the walls of her apartment, face, body, and bed after being propelled by her ceiling fan.
Oh my god, so it didn't just like it turned into a spin art basically.
Yeah.
In her room.
Yeah, that's worse.
Oh my god,
that's really gross. It says it grossed me out. I was in shock. I thought this isn't a dream, and I thought this isn't just a dream. Wake up, she told herself. I called maintenance and they said, are you sure? And I said, blood is falling on me. They didn't believe her. Then they went out there to take care of it. Somebody up there, and the neighbor who was upstairs was between, look at this range they gave this person. The person who died was between 55 and 70. Jeez!
Wow.
That's a massive.
How much of them had decomposed and gone through the fan?
Right, but this, like.
That's a big range. I feel like the Quincy ME is not doing his job.
Nope. Definitely not. It's funny you said ME. I just beat Mass Effect 1 last night.
Quincy, Mass Effect.
There you go. Anyway, she's been laying on the floor for several days, started to decompose. The firefighters knocked down the door, and the body was laying exactly above where her fan was.
Oh, jeez. No word if the woman's cat had already started eating her.
That is so gnarly. I love to tally. It doesn't matter. I could bring up a game from the 80s that Electronic Arts published. Like, if Electronic Arts publishes anything, I could say, hey, Madden 94. She would immediately say FEA right there in the chat. That's all that is. Tally, you're the best. You're just, I know I can rely on you when
Exactly.
Yeah. And I beat
she's
it.
She's got two macros set. One is scam cover at me.
Yeah.
And the other is FEA. And it's just like, oh, okay, press F6.
There you have it. Oh, now it's in the butt. That's getting
I see that now. Yeah, it's getting.
Lennonade, I beat it because it's in that new, I'm not playing the old game. I'm playing the new remastered, fancied up thing, the legendary threesome thing. The legendary threesome, the trilogy. And I never played the first game back in the day, so this was my chance to do that, and it's awesome. The story is so good, and I can't wait to get into two. I'm reliving my Mass Effect days in a major way, and it's funny because I never played the first game. I played the second, I loved it. Played some of the third and fell off for some reason, but I get to go back to two and three. Oh yeah!
Wow, cool.
All right.
I did fire Valhalla back up, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Yeah. Now that I'm taking a break from Avengers, I'll come back to Avengers at some point, but I just feel like it's so much of the same-o, so I'm going to go back to Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Good. Nothing wrong. That game's great, and I that's the kind of game I also keep returning to. Like, it's not one I can finish. It's huge. Like,
yeah, can't finish in one sitting. And, you know, I just played so much Phoenix Uprising, or Phoenix... Is that right? Phoenix Uprising?
Phoenix, whatever the Phoenix Uprising. Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising.
Rising? I don't know.
Whatever it is. Whatever the game is that they also did that uses exactly the same control system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar.
It's very similar. And I think that's why I was like, oh, maybe I'm not ready for more of this.
Immortals Phoenix Rising. There it is.
Immortals Phoenix Rising. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're getting your fill of your open world third person action.
It's good to take a break from it. And even though Avengers is kind of that, at least it was a different control scheme, so it didn't feel like I was just playing another copy of the same game.
Sure. You don't want to ever feel like that.
Never. Never. I'm kind of excited about
Potato Race.
I mentioned at the beginning, Deathloop.
Deathloop. Oh, yeah, Deathloop's great. Well, Deathloop is delayed. When's that coming out?
Well, I thought it was coming out this weekend, no?
No, it got delayed.
Okay, well, I've got time then for Valhalla.
Release date. Let me check that out. Because this is the weird one. Deathloop is a Bethesda game that was announced as a PlayStation exclusive.
Oh, September, says Free Rangers.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like soon, but it was September.
It was supposed to be a launch game, I thought. Okay. Yeah,
but it's weird because this is a game that Bethesda made PS5 exclusive before Microsoft bought Bethesda. Mm-hmm. And they're still holding to that plan. They're still going to make... This is crazy because it's Xbox owned now, that game. But they're going to put it on PlayStation 5 for the first 6 months or whatever it is. Like, whatever delayed exclusivity they get.
Okay.
And then they'll put it on everything. But it's kind of funny how that works. And these guys, I mean, they made Dishonored. They made Prey. That should be an amazing game. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
About that. Oh yeah, PC gets it day one as well. But
it's a cool concept.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then
Deathloop
there we go.
Neat. But you have till September now.
Good. I'll get a third more done of Valhalla before then.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. We're gonna get a third more done of the show by playing a song and then getting to Justin after that. But before that, a song. So Brian, play a song.
Sure. I sure hope nobody tuned in just for the news. You know how this show works.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Hope you're fine with that. Let's go to Asbury Park, New Jersey for this one. It's a band called Lost in Society. They've got an EP coming out June 18th, courtesy of Wiretap Records. Big thanks to Wiretap and to Earshot Media for letting me have this one. This is their brand new single. It's called Say Anything. Look, if you're a fan of... let's see. Who did I think about when I was listening to these guys? The Super Suckers and... the rocking side of Fastball. When Fastball really rocks, they remind me these guys remind me of them. New Jersey, Asbury Park, New Jersey. Here is Lost in Society and Say Anything.
Say anything.
Hey, you guys, let's take a minute and talk about our friends at Blue Chew. Today's episode sponsored by Blue Chew. Look, it's been a hell of a year. Personally, I feel like I've aged 12 years over the last 12 months. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to. I guess that's true. Especially in the bedroom. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. That's right. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the price. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve better erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. Everyone's favorite packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. That's EW.com. So like blue, like the color blue, chew like you're chewing it, .com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Their licensed medical professionals and providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Because you don't have to, you chew them. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil, I know I'm saying those wrong, tablets are completely chewable, and they're made right here in the USA. And they prepare and ship them direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So, if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it comes time to perform, wink, wink, visit BlueChew.com for details and important safety information. We got a deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your very first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for helping us out today.
I am pleased to have you here. It's been a while, Fife Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. You're a minister now.
Hey, newsflash, Jesus wore pants, okay?
This is the Morning Stream. All your bays are belong to us.
All right, we're back, everybody. That song again.
That song again is Say Anything by the Asbury Park, New Jersey band Lost in Society from their upcoming EP, Stay Jaded.
There you go. Some of the chat have asked, why was there no Resident Evil last night? And it was because I was on the toilet all night. So
that's right. Scott was doing his own live stream.
Yeah, I was. So tonight is the night now. We're going to do it right after the Boop Show. So 5 p.m. my time. It's tonight. Nice. That's the plan. Okay. Because I feel fine now. I'm good.
Good. Fine. I'm good.
And some are saying they need confirmation from Kim or somebody that I've actually got this barf streak. She'll tell you. She'd know. She'd know if I puked in my time.
Oh my God. Yeah. Why would you make this up?
I don't know. I don't know why people that, I mean, I'm proud of the record, but there, I mean, and look, I'm under no illusions. There will come a day where all bets are off and it's, you know, I'm hurling. That's just how it'll be. But for now, I've got a run that's longer than Seinfeld's, Jerry Seinfeld's in the fake one. His was shorter.
And boy, what a run it is.
Yeah. Been a hell of a run. All right. Let's pull in Justin Robert Young.
Yeah.
Run. And see what we can make of that.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
I'm terrible with names too, but not this guy. Justin Robert Young joining us from the studios of his Austin, Texas thing. House studio.
Your Austin, Texas thing.
You know, the thing.
Always so honorific. I know. To come
on
the show.
I just know the nicest ways to say everything. Justin joins us as he does on Tuesdays. Normally we get in a political mood, but outside of the horribleness happening in the Middle East, along with a few other boring things here in the States, we thought we'd swing a different way today. So here's the thing, Justin, you're in the middle of, I don't know if you're done yet, but you're watching that Sons of Sam.
I'm done.
Oh, you're done. So, oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
All done. Yeah.
So you watch Sons of Sam. I have that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Netflix, Sons of Sam, Descent into Darkness.
I think that's right.
Descent into Madness.
Yep. And the name is a bit of a hint because conceptually, the documentary explores the whole Son of Sam murders in New York in the 80s, 70s, 80s, whatever.
70s, mid-70s.
That's
and
right.
then it bleeds into, the story bleeds into the 80s, the third of the early 90s, really.
Right. And the implication of the title is, oh, maybe he wasn't working, or maybe he wasn't the only one. Maybe there was more to this story. And they chronicle this journalist who, you know, all this stuff. Now, the reason I know any of this is because I watched the first two episodes. And I did because I'm a giant sucker for this sort of thing. I like the true crime. I like documentaries about it. Big fan. Love it. I fell off of this one. And I fell off because it felt like by episode two, they were just yanking me around and presenting what felt like just conspiratorial evidence toward what they were saying, which is that there was more of this going on and that, you know, we only caught one guy or whatever. And I don't know why that put me off, but I fell off. Are you here to tell me that I should get back on that horse and ride it into Cool Town or what?
Well, I mean, as a stated ambassador of Cool Town, I feel like I should let the mayor speak for himself. But vis-a-vis your horse activity.
Sure.
I think that if we were to actually get into it, and I feel like because this is actual history, we can kind of talk about this beyond the spoilers. And it's like the animatic for their trailer or their you know credits at the beginning kind of shows the wildest scope of the things they get into. So it's not much of a secret. It's more the journey. Right. But this documentary follows a journalist who believed from the very beginnings of the Son of Sam shootings in the 70s, which if you're not familiar, there were the murders of young girls, mostly at what were referred to as quote unquote Lover's Lane location. So places where, I don't know if kids still do this or if they have apps for it when they hoverboard in or, you know, psychically telelink or something over Snapchat. But back in the day when you wanted to make out with your significant other, you found these, you know, back roads or things like that where you would go and do your thing and then go back home.
Right.
So the Son of Sam murderer was shooting and killing, if not killing, then maiming boys and girls who were in these locations. And this happened over the span of a year and a half. I can't remember the exact amount of victims, but they were into double digits. And then the killer was writing in not only to the police department, but also to local columnists. And so he's very much canonically among the sort of like serial killer panics of the 70s, including the Zodiac Killer and the Manson family. Hold the Manson family for a second because we're going to get back there. But what the journalist, who is really the centerpiece of this documentary series, and his words are voiced by Paul Giamatti, giving it a very narrative or cinematic heft to it.
Yeah, I did like that bit. That bit was good.
He believes that there were multiple people involved in this. And that it wasn't just David Berkowitz who was caught and confessed to all of the killings once he was caught.
Mm.
The first two episodes spend a large amount of time going through the crimes and then laying out the evidence that there were accomplices to these murders. That is something that I felt was fairly compelling. As far as these kinds of like, let's revisit a massive cold case and have it go counter to what your stated thought on this was, I did think it was semi-compelling. Like there is a fair amount of evidence. And also it's like the concept that the New York Police Department wanted this horrible series of crimes that put the city on edge to be done.
Yeah.
If they have a guy and he says he did all of it and he confessed to it and he's in jail, the police want that to be the end of it. That does seem fairly compelling that maybe they would overlook other strands that should otherwise have been followed. What happens past that is, I suspect, what made you drop off, if I'm correct.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll say this. For me, it's the sense that it was like, but what if I got, and it's not to the level of like some ancient aliens episode, you know, where they're like, what aliens? What if that was the reason we had an earthquake or whatever? Like I it wasn't to that level, but it was this feeling of like, was he the only one? I went, oh, I don't know. Is he?
Just answer the question. Yeah, don't keep asking the question.
Yeah. Like, can you tell me quickly? Like, am I going to know soon, or am I going to have to go through a bunch of excruciating episodes that aren't, I like a good construction of evidence and following the thread and getting there. But I was worried that they were going to not do that, that it was going to be just a lot of hand waving of certain things and then just going, but what if, dun, 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 and then a dramatic reading from Giamatti.
Well, I think by episode two, they lay out their case for the multiple accomplices.
Yeah.
Like by episode two, their point is, and from the very earliest elements of it, that the police sketches continue to change.
Yeah.
And that there are cars, vehicles that were spotted by victims that David Berkowitz had no access to. And then you continue to go down the rabbit hole and you say, okay, well, there were specifically two brothers whose father's name was Sam. And so we're literal sons of Sam.
Yeah.
That they believe were involved in it. And so past the first two episodes, I feel like they lay out who they believe was involved and why they believe they were involved. But it's the why that I think starts to pull into Conspiracyville, that, you know, while I enjoyed the construction of the documentary, yeah, I was not quite on board with the fact that their next stop was they were all part of a satanic cult that was there to try to bring about the apocalypse by way of random violence.
Yeah. See, that's the part I felt like things were maybe heading to, and I don't know why I got that impression. And part of me was like, well, normally I just power through this, but also I've been super busy with this Kickstarter and thought, well, you know, that's one thing I guess I don't have to see. But so I guess you just answer my question, because I, generally speaking, you tend to come at the end of a thing like this, you tend to come at your reviews in the most objective way that I know. Of all of my friends, you're one of the more objective viewers, I think. So in your mind, at the end of this, did they make the case that a whole bunch of people got away with stuff that we just ignored or not? Because if that is compelling to me, and if they get to a place where evidence leads to it, then I kind of want to get back in. But if you're telling me by the end, it's like, and they were, we think it was a big satanic thing and there's no evidence to support it, and it's mostly just sort of, ooh, kind of stuff, then I don't know if I don't want to do it.
There is compelling evidence that there was a very weird group that met at this park. There are markings on the wall. There are things that are consistent with the fact that there was some kind of early to mid 70s. And this is something that like is fascinating when you look at the sociology of like where the hippie movement kind of went, and they obliquely refer to this in the documentary.
Yeah.
But, you know, to understand the Manson murders and the Manson family, you have to understand that the hippie movement had kind of been around for about 10 years. And so you go from this revolutionary concept of like tune in, turn on, drop out, you know, these experiences will set you free. Let's all move to Haight-Ashbury. Let's all move on the farm. And for every one person that's like, you know, wavy gravy from the Grateful Dead who's like, hey, man, we'll all just raise rutabagas, to that splits off into like the crystal people and the more kind of like a spiritual, all of our chakras need to be aligned, yoga kind of people.
Yeah.
But also is this darker, megalomaniacal, abusive type. And all of it kind of comes from the idea that in communal living, there needs to be some degree of leadership.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it from that perspective, that there was this idea that society had led us the wrong way. This is breaking out the children of the 50s, the crew cut, haircut you can set your watch by, American dream, nuclear family. We just built the interstate kind of thing. Now we want something different. The children now are looking for something different. Some of them might have gone into this kind of a cult perspective, and there is evidence enough to say that there was that group. And I do believe that amongst that group, you have David Berkowitz and these other people that meet. Where it goes a step too far for me is that both that commune or group, coven, whatever you might call it, which was nicknamed the Children, was a subsection of a larger satanic church called the Process, for which also counted the Manson family as a subsidiary for all intents and purposes. And from all of my, I'm not a scholar on the Manson family, but I've listened to a few podcast series and read some stuff.
Sure.
That didn't seem consistent to me from the Manson family side. And also it starts to get us into wrapping this bow up a little too tightly, whenever that's always where I think people end up getting ass over tea kettles when it comes to conspiracies, is when everything starts to become more interesting beyond every door, when in reality, it's so very rarely like that.
Well, I just figured out maybe what my problem was. And it's that the show isn't about the motivations of the killer. Those are the ones I like, not because I don't like the motivations of killers.
No, but
I'm
fascinated
by it. You know,
that's the thing that you want solved when you watch one of those shows. You want to know why they did the things they did.
Yeah, that's why it's compelling. I like all this interest in true crime these days. I think you can boil most of it down to people having an innate curiosity about, well, what would make a person do such a terrible thing? Why? Mm-hmm. What is that? Is it their upbringing? Is it not their upbringing? Is it cultural? Is it brain chemistry? Like, I love that exploration. And whenever that stuff happens, I'm way into it. Super, super committed. This didn't seem to be interested in that. It was more like, here are all the missing pieces or whatever. And not that can't be compelling, but I think that's why I fell off. I don't know. You've kind of made me want to maybe check it again.
Here's the things that get in that happen in episode 3 and 4, and I forget exactly which ones are which, but I think 3 probably does the most of it, that the documentary doesn't really touch, but really stuck out to me. Number one, this journalist winds up writing a book about his findings called The Ultimate Evil, wherein he spells out the idea that a satanic cult has orchestrated the Son of Sam murders. That makes him a very popular guest on all sorts of media outlets, and they mention the fact that the Satanic Panic happens around this time, and they show other clips of the journalist being kind of upset that he keeps being booked on these shows with people that are talking about how the Smurfs are a satanic ritual being broadcast to children. While that's not really his point. His point is, no, this thing is real and these people died because of it, and not, these oblique ideas that Dungeons and Dragons is programming your children to worship Satan.
Right.
But his role specifically in the Satanic Panic is something that I found very interesting. And more to our modern context, and we're going to swing it back to politics, but his theory is that there are elite Satanists that have the power of money and influence and connections to Hollywood that do, among other things, murder those that have crossed their paths or bully other people into understanding that they should kill themselves before being caught or turning over information, and create pedophile content, if not funneling children to some of these satanic elites.
Yeah.
What worldview does that remind you of?
Gosh, so Q much?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we're looking at these things, and this is why I get frustrated when we believe that there is anything new under the sun, even the more macabre and ridiculous elements, because these things have been around. If you look at just, and you are very, this entire documentary is very sympathetic to Maury Terry, who is essentially the protagonist of these four episodes. So you don't believe that at any moment he's doing anything harmful. He's literally just following these threads. And there is a process church. It might not be the process church that he has created in his own mind. They might not have ordered the Son of Sam murders or the Manson family murders. But there is this thing. There was this group of people that met in Yonkers. There was this crazy place. There were mutilated dog carcasses around where these people met. They were known to sacrifice animals. Like, all these things are real. But if you look at just Maury Terry's philosophy and then kind of combine it a little bit with the John Birch Society stuff that was going around in the 60s, then anything that Q is saying or that we hear in our modern political landscape that we think are these new conspiracy theories, you realize have been around forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, mm-hmm. Weird. I think part of the reason I like this stuff or historical documentary in general, even when it's just about anything, like, I don't know, riots in the 60s or stuff that went down around the, you know, the forming of the country itself or whatever, I find catharsis in it because there are those parallels, right? So you see those things and go, oh, well, that's not that different than what's happening right now. In fact, that's a little worse right there than what's happening right now. And then you'll see something real bad that's happening right now and go, all right, that's pretty bad. But I do know that this other thing happened too, which is a lot like it. So there are parallels, and I wonder what the societal connections are. And that stuff makes me feel less insane and powerless. Because I have it to compare to modern day. So I think I agree with you is what I'm saying. I really like that, the juxtaposition I get from that.
The documentary connected things for me in terms of understanding, like, okay, so let's, when you say that the satanic panic caused Pizzagate, right?
Right.
Like, that seems weird because in our head, what we think of is Dungeons and Dragons and innocent people going to jail because of manipulated confessions, quote unquote, from children, because there was this bizarre and totally scientifically inaccurate belief that kids are less likely to lie than adults are, and that's what we tend to think of with the satanic panic. But if you are to take this worldview, this Maury Terry worldview, and look at it not from the perspective of Satan being a drug dealer who might get your kid hooked on crack, but rather an overarching structure, then you don't really have a far way to walk between that and something like Pizzagate.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of elements to this that reinforce it, including distrust of authority, the idea that we are being lied to, or that the entire what we are being told by our betters is not what is real. And I do think that they're, you know, the key is trying to separate that healthy skepticism from something that turns into something bizarre.
Yeah, that's true. Did you see the one about the slasher dude in LA? That's also kind of new. What was that called? Gosh dang it. It was the guy that it was the LA dude. It had something to do with that hotel as well, that weird hotel.
The Cecil.
Yeah, and I cannot remember the name of the guy.
You want to know what?
Night Stalker.
I actually don't like true crime stuff, so I don't watch a lot of it. The only reason why I watched it was because we were just looking to kill time with my mom. My mom was in town. And she grew up around that time in New York, so I was like, "Hey, let's revisit this traumatizing time in your life."
That's exactly.
We just got pizza. So,
family entertainment, love it.
I saw that photo and I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's former presidential hopeful
Two-time presidential vote receiver, Gloria Young.
Yeah, Gloria Young. I just thought, wow. And your brother getting the old silvers, I noticed. That's pretty cool. I like that.
I know, yeah. And he actually has reason to, because he has two kids. So, like, he should have it. I'm doing it for no GD reason.
You're doing it for the good of the ladies. The ladies need it out here. Everybody sees it and they just go, oh, hubba hubba.
They do, yeah. They swoon.
I can tell you, my daughter just the other day goes, oh, I wish my hair was like Justin's. I said, what do you mean? She goes, that silver is so cool. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, that's a cool thing.
Maybe next Nerdtacular. She all right. A matching haircut.
Maybe we'll
coordinate all of our outfits and we'll just walk around back to back the entire weekend.
I love the idea.
I'm just going to spray paint a silver stripe on the side of my head.
Yeah, of course.
Like a racing stripe.
Yeah, look, yeah, do it. Everybody's all are welcome.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, my premature graying has been the greatest gift to me that has ever been provided. like it is one of the strangest things in my life that me going gray in my 20s was this unexpected boon.
Yeah.
This air of, yeah.
There's a maturity that also is, I don't know, it's hard to explain what it does for you, but it does something.
Right.
Yeah.
Distinguished gentleman.
Some art snipper before, but now I have gray hair. And everybody's like, wait a minute. Let's think about what he's saying.
Hold on. Listen to him. He's got hair. And
exactly.
He must know what he's talking about. Well, we always like having you on. Of course, Tuesdays.
Apparently, my brain has worked so hard, it's scared all the color out because it's just working at such a level. Everyone's like, oh, like the brain power on this guy.
Yeah, that we know that's how that works. Why do you think Reed Richards has that big old streak? It's not because he's old.
Two of them. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, temples. There is. Yeah. There is a what's it called, a history of people of smart guys. Yeah. Although Paulie Walnuts kind of goes against that. So.
I just saw him. Right. I just heard
slick it back.
I just heard an interview with that guy talking about some stuff that happened on set during The Sopranos, and it's him today, and he's getting pretty old, but man, that guy's fun to listen to. Holy crap! Mm-hmm. I forgot the actor's name, but he's Paulie Walnuts is freaking a. Yeah. Legend.
I mean,
anyway.
that's from what I've read about that set, it was an interesting time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because they like just imagine if you were the intersection of like high art and actual murderers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were both of them were like, hey, big fan. Love what you're doing. Like it's a weird thing separating the art from the artist too.
Totally agree. I kind of want to watch it again. I'm in the mood. All right. Justin R. Young. Oh, tell everybody what's going on this week. What can they be checking out that is yours?
Oh, speaking of my mom's on the PX3 show on Wednesday, and we did a kind of evergreen interview that I was really excited about. And I think maybe, you know, I'll tell you what. Ooh, maybe I can book you, Scott, doing a similar interview. But we went through everyone she's ever voted for.
Oh, weird.
We talked about
where she was in her life and what she cared about, what she thought about the candidates, and why she voted for X, Y, and Z. And it was fascinating. I found out that she wrote a letter to a president. I won't reveal which one, but she got a signed letter in return.
Oh, wow.
That she's going to send to me, and I'm going to frame and put in my office. But it is a super cool interview in terms of just understanding the mind of a voter who had kind of bounced around the political map and sort of the intersection. What I was really happy about it was the intersection of reality, because we often, especially now, we're in a very pure, an age of purity, as it were. Where everybody has to prove that they are more pure than the next, when the average voter, and I think the way you win elections is by understanding just the general will of the populace, and you can track from her, you know, as she goes through becoming a mother and getting divorced, becoming a single mother, moving from state to state, what her priorities are, what she cares about, and who she votes for. And I thought it was very, very interesting.
That's awesome. I love mother discussions, and I'm dying to know which president that is. So there's your teaser, everybody. Tune in and find out on the PX3 podcast.
It's actually really, it's a very, very, very funny moment. And if I say any more, it will kind of tip who it is. But she was very sympathetic to one president.
I won't guess. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to blow it. I have a guess, but I'll keep it in my head where it belongs.
You want to text me?
Yeah, I'll text it. I'll do it right now. Let's do this in real time.
Text me right now, yeah. And then I'll confirm whether or not you were right.
All right. I'm going to put it in right now.
Yeah, I got my phone right in front of me.
All right. There you go.
So I'll confirm.
Oh, please answer with a, what, are you kidding me?
Oh, stop it. No. Hell no.
Not that.
That's kind of what I was looking for. Perfect.
Damn it.
No. In fact, that's another inflection point. You guessed Bush Sr., but no, Bush Sr. was a negative inflection point.
I'm guessing
no, you
Kanye.
Can't just keep guessing, Scott. You can't, like, there's only so many presidents.
I just said another one.
Kanye is my guess.
Kanye
now
is
you're
your
just
guess?
Guessing. You're just guessing random presidents. No, you got one guess, and it was
dead
no
wrong.
Impact.
All right, dead wrong. Well, there
now
you're
gonna listen to the interview.
All right, I will. Ross Perot. Just kidding. All right, he was never president. Justin Robert Young. Check him out on that show and much more. Justin R. Young on Twitter. We'll see you later.
Bye. The jury will not retire.
He just saluted us. I don't know how to feel.
He did.
That.
It was very nice.
Yeah, I feel like I'm, I don't know, military.
The jury will not retire.
All right, check this out, you guys. We got a bonus mashup today, and it's this one. Greg, is Greg in the chat? Please tell me Greg for Walkman's here today. He's got to be here, right?
Oh, yes, he is.
Is he? Okay, Greg. Oh, good. He is here. He's saying, uh-oh, don't worry, dude. This is amazing. So, Greg, the origin of your name is in here. So, enjoy this. There's a lot more to it, but it's mostly about you. Enjoy. This is from Jamie. Enjoy. All right. Also, quick thanks to Greg Farwalkman. I don't know why. Oh! It just hit me what this is, and I feel like a dumbass. Greg? I wanted to thank Greg for the Walkman.
Oh, Greg Farwalkman.
Yeah. I can't write. I'm a terrible writer. My handwriting's awful. It's just bad. And I wrote, thank Greg Farwalkman, and I thought it was his name. He sent me one of those Sportsman Walkmans that's ancient, the yellow ones Sony used to make back before CDs took over. And I wanted to make sure to give him thanks on the air, and I can't believe I just said that his name was Greg Farwalkman.
I need to also thank, I don't know who this person is, Kim Forcake. Huh. Kim Forcake. I don't know why I'm thanking this person, Kim Forcake, but Allure for Real says, I need to thank Kim. I don't know who this person is. Kim Forsex.
Anyway, the point there was, what was that? Oh, Greg. Yeah, thank you, Greg. Greg from Boston.
Greg from Boston.
It's really nice of him, and I'm sorry for screwing
up. Who is this Greg from Boston? from Boston.
It's like, Scott, put spaces between your words, and this would all be gone.
Oh, classic.
Pretty good stuff. There you go. That's the story.
That's great.
I
love that he's doing these, like, get you caught up so you know why we talk about some of the things we talk about.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great reminder for me because I kind of forget how this stuff happens. Like, I remember basically what happened with Greg, but I forgot all those details. So that was it's like a historical record. It's fantastic. Really good. Anyway,
so good.
Thank you for that. And TMS Mashups, thank you for your hard work. It's fantastic. Follow him on TMS Mashups on Twitter. And tell him how rad he is. One final thing. Joey, I saved this for the end of the show. Joey Image, former pro wrestler, current hard drive hoarder, Joey Image.
Saw him in the chat, yeah.
He's in the chat room. I just want to acknowledge the fact that his favorite video game of all time, his obsession, rivals that of my obsession with Fury Road.
Wow.
For the game.
Reset everything back to zero, everybody.
Yeah, everything back to zero. Rivals that of Fury Road for me for his love of Days Gone, a video game that was previously a exclusivity PS4 game that is now also on PC as of today. Today is the launch day.
Oh, wow.
And some time ago, Joey, very kindly and kind of out of nowhere, I didn't see it coming, gifted me that game, and I can't wait to tear into it. So, Joey, thank you for that. And also, he's been in the chat all day saying...
He has,
saying, hey, happy Days Gone launch day, everybody. And I just wanted to acknowledge, Joey, we hear you. We heard you. Wait, don't we have a clip for that? We heard you.
We're ready to listen to you. No, what was the... It's the Ghostbusters thing, right? We're ready to believe you.
Oh, this is what I'm thinking of.
We heard you.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, that's what you're thinking of. Okay.
Or maybe I'm thinking of
ladies, we heard you.
Oh, ladies, we've heard you. That's okay. And then there's...
Oh, there's some of that misogyny that people were looking for earlier.
Yeah, when you just say the word ladies, and if you're a man that says it, oh,
that's right. It's all of a sudden
misogyny. Walking on thin ice, man. Anyway.
Quit talking, ladies, we hear you.
So,
please, shut up.
So I'm going to be playing that. I don't know when. Things are busy right now, and this week we're leaving and all that. But, it's official. Thursday, no show in the morning, everybody. No show. We're right.
No show. We are a no show for Thursday.
Yeah,
we called in, so we won't get fired, but we are a no show for Thursday.
That is correct. And that's good because I got so much freaking crap to do before I leave. So it'll help me a lot.
Yeah, you and me both. I will have to do a Coverville that day, though, because I have a... I have a full lineup of shows coming up, but it's going to be a short show tribute to, Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Oh, very nice. I like them.
You do. And it's funny because a lot of the stuff that you know by them, House of the Rising Sun, Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. Actually all of those by other people. There are a few things that they originally did. As a matter of fact, they did the original version of Mama Told Me Not to Come. That Ain't the Way to Have Fun, Son, which is written by Randy Newman.
Oh, really?
And first performed by Eric Burdon and the Animals before it became a huge hit for Three Dog Night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Again, these things I never thought were covers. That's your,
the more you know.
Yeah, the more you know. I could have had that handy. More you know. I have that right here. Look.
More than you know.
That's not it. That's not
it. How'd you get Brian Dunaway to record that?
I was going to say, that's not it. Here. No, but I don't. Here it is. There you go. The more you know.
There you got it.
More than you know.
More than you know.
All right. Well done, everybody.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. Enjoy the rest of your day is all I'd like to say. And if you have not already done this in the long time we've been running it, today might be a great day to do it. Head on over to patreon.com/TMS and keep our lights and heat on, for it is you who do that. So thank you to those who already do. I don't say thanks enough to them. But to everybody else, patreon.com/TMS, bonus content, bonus shows, art in the mail, bunch of other benefits that you can only get by being a part of it. patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, just Google us. We're all over the place on there. Just Google us.
Google us.
All right.
Google us. That's the new VR system.
Oh, the Google us. The new Oculus Google us.
Google us VR, yes.
You know, Google should have called their VR stuff Google us.
No, they shouldn't.
What happened? Didn't they have some VR stuff?
Like their Google Glass, yeah.
No, not that. It was something else. They had like full
on. Oh, did they have like full
headset thing.
VR goggles? That
or
they
maybe
were
it was with the phones. You put the phone in them.
Oh yeah, like the little the holder, the cardboard. Well, sometimes cardboard.
They
sometimes
just dump stuff. They make. They make a thing and then they dump it.
Amish Overlord, we'll be here tomorrow.
We're here tomorrow.
You know.
Yeah. There's a show tomorrow. Don't leave. We're here tomorrow. We got recommendals tomorrow. We got Tom. It's going to be a great day.
Yes. I have two things I'm excited to recommendal.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm excited.
I wonder if one of them is one of them a lot of animated things.
No, there's nothing animated. It's not an animated show that has three names separated by commas and an and.
Okay.
And is now in season two. No, one of them is a series that just reached its mid-season finale.
Yeah.
The other is a film that was up for best adapted screenplay at the most recent Oscars.
Oh, hinty hint McKint over there. Look
yes.
at that.
Yes. All right. People might be able to figure out both of those just based on just based on those clues right there.
I'm interested. Alex Albisu, you'd be surprised. Tomorrow will be a surprise for Alex. He thinks he knows what I watch, but it's not going to be what he thinks it is. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It really isn't. All right. There you go. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We need to go, but we need to play us out with a song. So, Brian, you can do that.
Yeah. Kelly, a.k.a. Spiral Shape in chat, wrote in, said, "Hey, first-time requester. I was browsing around to put together a playlist and ended up running across some covers by the 8-Bit Big Band and thought they might be a good match for TMS. If you can play either of these, blah, 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 but we can, so that's cool. Thanks and have a wonderful day." Oh, Kelly, happy to play this for
really
you.
That's really nice.
And,
yeah, thank you for that.
I had not heard of the 8-Bit Big Band before, so we'll give you a little bit of background on what you can expect from this. As you might guess, well, no, let me rephrase that. You might guess that this is going to be chiptune music.
Oh.
It's not.
Oh, I would have guessed this but now I don't know what to expect. This is crazy.
This is if Frank Sinatra decided to cover the Katamari Damacy theme or decided to cover the Mario Brothers theme or something like that.
That sounds great. That sounds
this
good.
Stuff is fantastic, and I've been down a rabbit hole all morning listening to as much of it as I can. This is a cover of the Jonathan Coulton song from Portal 2 entitled "Once You Gone." Here it is, the 8-Bit Big Band.
All right, that'll do it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come back then. Bye.
Are again, it's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed, except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom taken? That's what I'm counting on. I used to want you dead, but now I only want you gone. She was a lot like you. Well, maybe not quite as heavy. Now little Caroline is in here to say, "How'd you get in my room?" One day they woke me up so I could live forever. It's such a shame the same will never happen to you. You've got your short, sad life left. That's what I'm counting on. I'll let you get right to it. Now I only want you gone. Now listen, I ain't gonna tell you twice. We don't know if there's gonna be a Portal 3 or not. Now I'm gonna have some of my friends here in the band show you a thing or two what we do with test subjects just like you. Take it away! Funny if it weren't so sad. Well, you have been replaced. I don't need anyone now. When I delete you, maybe I'll start feeling so bad. Go make some new disaster. That's what I'm counting on. You're someone else's problem. Now I only want you gone. Now I only want you gone. Now I only want you gone. I want you gone.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You just lose the feel.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.